Hello, and welcome to Business Talk, brought to you by Business West and sponsored by People's Bank. Hi, I'm Chris Kellogg from the Kellogg Crew Morning Show on 94.7 WMAS. And I'd like to introduce the host of this week's episode. He's the editor of Business West. Here's Joe Bednar.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Business Talk. We have a great show for you today, but first, we have an important message from our sponsor, People's Bank.
Thank you for listening to the Business Talk podcast, sponsored by People's Bank, bringing you the best in business experts, entrepreneurs, and evangelists. Make Business Talk your innovation break for ideas and inspiration. People's Bank, where commercial banking can fuel your growth and make work life easier. Member FDIC, DIF Equal Housing Lender. Bank at peoples.com/business.
Okay, we're back. And as promised, we have a great show for you today. Our guest is Joel Doolin, Executive Vice President of Mira Vista Behavioral Health Center in Holyoke, and also a sister facility, Terra Vista Behavioral Health Center in Devens. Happy to have you here on Business Talk.
No, I appreciate it, Joe. Thank you for taking the opportunity to talk to me.
Behavioral health is a really important topic. I'm always happy to discuss it with folks. Some of our listeners may be familiar with Mira Vista, others may not. Can you give us a basic overview of the center and what services you provide?
Of course. So Mira Vista actually came into existence in 2021, actually April of 2021 to be exact. We actually took over the old Providence Hospital in Holyoke, Massachusetts, which was operated by Mercy Hospital Systems before that. So we opened in April of 2021 with the idea of opening inpatient psychiatric treatments for the community and as well as some outpatient services. So currently we have 72 beds open for inpatient psychiatric services. 16 of those beds are adolescents and 56 of those beds are adult psychiatric beds. In addition to that, we have several outpatient services that we currently provide to the community. We do have an opioid treatment program, otherwise known as OTP program. We also run intensive outpatient programs for the community also.
Are some of those services part of the kind of goes into the tagline I've heard you guys using recently, there's more at Mira?
There is, and we've definitely expanded our outpatient programs recently. And in order to do that, we've actually expanded how to get services from us as well. So one of the things that we've done is we've added transportation to both our OTP and IOP programs. So doing an analysis of the area, we had many people who wanted to participate or take advantage of our programs and were unable to do so because of the lack of transportation. So we've been since offering transportation and picking up people and bringing them to those programs has been very successful. In addition to that, we've opened the programs to Spanish-speaking only patients. So we've been able to do that and add our clinicians now who are Spanish-speaking as well. So we've been able to add those programs. And then also we've been able to increase our programming to include night programming. So some of the intensive outpatient was only performed during the day, again, to meet the needs of the community. People work during the day. We started offering evening programs.
It sounds like a lot of what you're getting at digs into the need for access to these types of programs. But just on a broader level, how important is it to just provide these services at all in this region? I mean, what was the need that Mira Vista was responding to when you moved into Providence and started offering services here?
Yeah, I mean, the need is great, and it continues to be great, and we're continuing to expand our footprint in order to meet those needs. So when we first started at Mira Vista, there was probably, 20 beds open on the inpatient side. We've again expanded that to 72 beds with the idea of opening additional beds in the near future as we're recruiting and kind of preparing for that. So the need in the community is still something that hasn't been met. We're working very hard to make sure that we're addressing that as we can. There's obviously things that are, that are slowing that process down, recruiting of staff and making sure that our facilities are equipped to handle what those needs are two of those barriers.
So speaking of staffing and recruiting, I know virtual recruitment is a tool that's becoming more widely used in the industry. And I understand Mira Vista conducts virtual interviews every Tuesday, leading in some cases to on-the-spot hires. With nursing recruitment challenging, not just locally, but nationally, how has that that virtual element been helpful?
It's very helpful. It gives someone instant access to us. And they can ask questions. They can interact with our recruiters. They can interact with our nurse managers or our manager who's hiring for the different position. If it's social work or if it's a nurse practitioner, they can meet with the appropriate management. And you can have an interaction that's immediate. Answer your questions. Decide if it's something you want to do. We do make on the spot hires. So if it's someone who has the appropriate experience and they understand what the type of environment they're coming into, and they're familiar with Mira Vista from a hospital setting, we have made on the spot hires. We also have people come back and we'll tour the facility and kind of look to see how Mira Vista set up and what we can do for them. And you hit it right on the head, Joe. In Massachusetts, the need is much greater than the availability of staff. So to take every opportunity to expand our methods of recruitment, virtual is definitely one of those areas. And we've reached out to on all the social media platforms as well. We are interacting with people through Facebook. We're interacting with people through LinkedIn. And then the virtual recruitment fairs are just another avenue for us to continue to interact with people on a regular basis.
Does the need for nurses and other positions, both at Mira Vista and maybe even just regionally and statewide, kind of track with the needs in the general healthcare world? I mean, is the behavioral health world more challenging when it comes to recruiting, or is it pretty much a situation where everyone in healthcare is just sort of kind of dealing with the same issues?
Right now, it's everyone in healthcare. My primary focus, obviously, is behavioral health, but everyone in healthcare is running into the same issues. So if you look in Massachusetts, there's probably 5,000 needs across the board for nursing, and there's 2,000 new nurses coming in every year. So it doesn't take a lot to do the math to say that the hole is still there, and the need for nursing and the competition to bring in nurses is extremely high. So we do offer a very comprehensive package to make sure that the nurses that are coming on board, obviously, are well compensated, and we can compete with the other hospitals in our area. So, you know, it's a tough situation because we're all trying to provide healthcare, which we're all trying to treat patients. But that competition is real, and it's not going to go away anytime soon.
You know, besides the things that you can do to make it a more attractive job, when you mentioned, competitive pay, benefits, all the things that you might offer, why do nurses and other professionals go into behavioral health to begin with? What is gratifying about that job, even inside the broader world of healthcare, that's attractive to some? Because it seems like a really challenging but very interesting career.
No, and it is challenging and interesting, and people are drawn to areas where they feel that they either had experience in the past, either personally or professionally in another area, and they see the need for that nurturing environment, and they migrate to it. So several of our staff have personal stories, and they'll say, well, this happened with me in the past or with my family in the past, and I feel that this is the best way I can use my professional services to make sure we're treating the appropriate people. It's interesting because to me, mental health for the longest period of time wasn't considered in the same breath as other types of treating your body well and other types of healthcare. I think it's now, on par, if not at the forefront of understanding that in order to be a successful person and to do that, what you need to do, you have to take care of your mind as well as your body. And there are ways to do that. And we are definitely here to help people who need to kind of come into acute inpatient setting or an outpatient setting and make sure that, we're working with them on the desired outcomes they're looking for.
How did you wind up in this role? I should have started with this, actually. I mean, what brought you into the behavioral health world and eventually to Mira Vista and Terra Vista?
Yeah, it's interesting. I've been in healthcare for most of my career, and in different areas of healthcare. I've worked with children on the autism spectrum for a number of years, children with behavioral situations for a number of years. And I've worked in other, acute settings, and I worked in regular med-surg hospitals. So my initial foray into behavioral health for Terra Vista or Mira Vista was actually as the chief people officer. And it's funny because when I always migrate back to where I'm comfortable working with employees and making sure that we have a place for employees to go and to be successful, I always migrate towards that area. So on the operation side, you have your facilities, you have your other pieces. But for me, it's all about the employees. So when I had the opportunity to come here and be a part of that and be a part of a new organization in Mira Vista that was established in 2021, I've been here since almost the beginning. and to work with a great organization like Taravis. They're over in Devens. I just jumped at that opportunity and was able to ultimately, you know, have a lot of success and continue to grow my career here. And I hopefully here for a number of years as we continue to grow in the community.
You're listening to Business Talk, a podcast presented by Business West and sponsored by People's Bank. We're talking today with Joel Doolin, Executive Vice President of Mira Vista Behavioral Health Center and Terra Vista Behavioral Health Center. Joel, we recently spoke for an article I wrote about mental wellness in the workplace. With some organizations still remote, others making their way back to in-person work, others adopting a hybrid model, HR professionals continue to respond to an environment that often includes employees who may be challenged by substance abuse and mental health issues. Can Mira Vista be a resource or partner for local companies looking to educate their workforce on these kinds of topics?
Absolutely. Mira Vista has an expertise in mental health and mental health awareness, and we are actively looking and working with partners in our communities to make sure that those resources are available to anyone who needs it, even beyond the workplace. So we not only go with, and reach out to workplace professionals through the HR associations in the area or directly through HR departments and work with them, but we're working with schools in the area too, to make sure that their staff are trained and understand as a resource to them. And then ultimately our plan in the future is to start putting on presentations for parent groups and other areas that we can really make a mark in the community and make sure that we're getting our message out there that it's, you're not alone. That if you need help, there are resources available, and we are definitely a resource that we want to be considered.
Do you feel like the pandemic years sort of exacerbated some of the mental health stressors and challenges out there and some of the things that you're seeing from your perspective?
Absolutely. Both on the employee side and on the business side. What you're seeing is people now are connected 24/7 to either work or other types of environments. That stress no longer goes away. You're continuously either on your phone or you're continuously, you mentioned working remote. If you're working remote, you're working in the same place you're living most of the time. So you're never truly shutting off. And the expectation of employers is that you're essentially available when you need to be available. So it's difficult to start to detach, and it's very important that people do. So one of the things that we do here, obviously, is I promote our usage of our PTO time and making sure that people are able to disconnect and rejuvenate, because if you're not able to do that, you're just not functioning at the same level as you were when you are able to do it. So it's very important that employees or employers are aware of what's going on and are able to address that. But the COVID has risen a level of stress throughout the environment, as well as anxiety. And obviously it's something that's still at the forefront of what we do.
You know, expanding on that, do you see a need for more mental health awareness in settings, in other settings, from homes to schools to the community? And are we moving toward a time when conversations about these issues and the resources people can tap into become more comfortable to talk about and less stigmatized?
I do see it still being something that is that needs to be addressed. I think that ultimately it's addressed when it needs to be addressed, but it's not something that's talked about on a normal, regular basis. I think it needs to be no different if you're in a health class in school. Talking about mental health should be no different than talking about your body and other parts of healthcare. So they always talk about physical education. I think mental health should be at the forefront. And we're not there yet. There's no doubt about it. It is something that is definitely more in the forefront. And being in a hospital setting that we're at and being with the outpatient and seeing the growth of those areas as we're kind of getting out more into the community, the need is still there. The need to talk about it's still there. The need to address it's still there, and the need for resources needs to be greatly improved. Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh no, I'm just wondering if there's even more things that that schools or businesses or you know, municipal leaders or anybody can do to sort of move toward that environment where we are having that conversation more easily.
Yeah, I mean, it all comes down to the leadership in those particular areas and recognizing the seriousness of making sure that this is on the forefront. Culture is extremely important. Leadership drives that culture. So if you're looking at a work environment, it's understanding that leadership needs to understand that staff need to decompress just like anyone else, and making sure that you have those resources available. If you're designing a benefit plan, design a benefit plan that has a robust mental health component to it. So employees have resources they can go to. You have employee assistance programs or EAP programs. Those were something, again, that every company has had for a number of years, but most people didn't even know they existed up until probably the last 2 or 3 years, because the need for that type of counseling and that type of management is becoming more and more available, and it's more necessary in order to be successful in what we do. And there's no difference in the school systems, and there's no difference in other areas. Children feel stress just like adults. They're never turning off either. Social media is always present. The idea of coming home and doing homework, computers, every child has a computer now that they take from school back to home. And there's a constant connection there and a constant need to continuously strive and compete.
You know, kind of another angle on kind of serving the community. Do you want to talk at all about the Mira Vista's recent work with Narcan awareness and distribution? I know there's a video that was just produced by one of your nurses on how to administer Narcan. I mean, what is the kind of, tell me a little bit about that program.
Sure. And the program is simply this. We want to get as much information out to the community as possible, where things are available to the community, where they can access information or they can access products if necessary, including Narcan. And then ultimately how to use that if you're getting those products. We want to make sure people are using that safely and it's available. So our goal there is to act purely as a resource, and we want to continue to promote products like that or continue to promote resources and making sure that people have the information available to them. So those videos are things that we produce in-house, and then obviously we're sending out into the community through a variety of distribution channels. And our goal is not to solicit patients from that or anything else. It's purely just, here's a resource for you. Please, take advantage of it if you need it. And ultimately, we're here for you if you need additional services.
As we wind down, to wrap up, what do you see in Mira Vista's future that we haven't talked about already?
Yeah, I mean, we're continuously looking at a variety of different ways to expand our resources or our services to make sure we're meeting the community needs. There's no shortage of community needs out there. And as we continue to grow, our goal is to continue to expand inpatient beds. And we're looking at a variety of different ways to expand our outpatient programs. So that's going to be something that we continue to push and we continue to do. If you're familiar with the old Prov Hospital or where we're at Mira Vista, it's a giant facility. So our goal is to fill it with something. And as we continue to grow, we'll continue to fill it with the resources that are or the community resources that are needed in the community, our resources in the community.
And considering community needs and the impact you're having, how gratifying is this work personally for you?
Fantastic. Like I mentioned before, I've worked with children with disabilities for a number of years. Unbelievably satisfying work, and to go into a very similar field where I get to see people come in through an ambulance and on a stretcher and walk out and starting a fresh new life. And hopefully with the resources that we've gave them and ultimately the community resources that they're walking into, they can continue on their path of success.
That's great. And thank you, Joel. That's all the time we have today. But I appreciate you spending a few minutes with me to talk about this really important work.
I appreciate it, Joe. And, we're always here for you and the community.
And thanks to all of you for tuning into Business Talk, a podcast presented by Business West and sponsored by People's Bank. I'm Joe Bednar, the editor of Business West, and we'll see you next time.